Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The two Browns who head up the Defense Department, Secretary Harold and General George, testify before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee today in support of the Panama Canal treaties. They'll be stating the military view of the agreements. Some critics have been suggesting that the Joint Chiefs of Staff, headed by General Brown, aren't actually as much in favor of the treaties as they've said they are in public. Today, the senators will find out about that from Secretary Brown and the JCS chairman. A Senate Judiciary Subcommittee has subpoenaed several people in a related matter, and Phil Jones has details.
The subpoena orders Jorge Rodriguez Brustmeyer to appear before the Senate Subcommittee on September 30th. And subpoenas were also authorized for Stansfield Turner, CIA Director, Clarence Kelly, head of the FBI, and other government officials who might have some records pertaining to the incident, which allegedly happened back in late 74 or early 75. The committee may have trouble serving the subpoena on Brustmeyer. He was mustered out of the Army last August. He has been living in the Brooklyn, New York area, and just last week he reportedly left New York, headed to Panama. The committee that has issued the subpoenas has several members who are on record against the Panama Canal treaties. However, subcommittee chairman Senator James Allen says his only reason for issuing the subpoena is that he understands the former Army sergeant can supply some important information. Sources also say that Brustmeyer's testimony could provide other significant leads in tracking down what, if anything, may have happened with U.S. intelligence information allegedly gathered during electronic surveillance on Panamanian leaders. Phil Jones, CBS News, Washington.
The number one Panamanian leader, General Omar Torrijos, has given an extended interview to three American correspondents in which he defends the treaties and tries to dispel a view of him held by many conservatives in this country that he's a dictator and a communist. On that score, Torrijos remarks that he's a little less communist than were Franklin Roosevelt and John Kennedy, and a lot less communist than was Abraham Lincoln. Torrijos hopes that one of his best-known critics, Ronald Reagan, will go to Panama and see for himself. Torrijos says Reagan will only be convinced by talking to him that he's honestly mistaken on the issue, and he adds, "Please tell Reagan to stop calling me a tin-horn dictator. At least wrap me in copper or something else."
My good friend Alan wanted to buy a new car. He wanted company. So there I was, standing in a Datsun showroom, minding my own business, when suddenly it dawned on me. Economy doesn't have to be dull.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
Wow, that Datsun V210 Plus. Racy stripes, reclining bucket seats.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
Five-speed gearbox. Steel belted radials, cut pile carpeting.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you.
All standard on Datsun V210 Plus. Plus 46 miles per gallon highway, 30 city. These are EPA estimates. Your mileage may vary.
Suddenly it's gonna dawn on you. Datsun saves.
Oh, Alan bought a green one. I got blue.
Take a test drive soon at your nearby Datsun dealer. Suddenly, it'll dawn on you. Datsun saves in all kinds of ways.
Israel's newly revised attitude on Arab participation in a resumed Geneva Middle East Peace Conference has drawn contrasting responses in Washington and New York. First, the State Department view, summed up by CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Cowell.
The administration is, to quote a spokesman, pleased that Israel has accepted an American proposal for a United Arab delegation at a reconvened Geneva conference. U.S. officials recognize this represents an Israeli concession, but they add the Israelis have still not gone far enough. The U.S. would like to be able to tell the Arab states that the Israelis will accept low-ranking members of the Palestine Liberation Organization along with West Bank mayors at a peace conference. But though the Israelis will accept West Bank representatives, they will not accept any known member of the PLO as a negotiating partner. Officials say one way around this continuing obstacle is for the U.S. to persuade Egypt, Jordan, and Syria to go to Geneva representing not only themselves, but also the PLO. According to officials here, the Arabs might buy this idea if, in the meantime, the United Nations were to pass a new resolution affirming the national rights of the Palestinian people. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
Secretary of State Vance had a long working dinner in New York last night with Israeli Foreign Minister Moshe Dayan, and CBS News UN correspondent Richard C. Huntelet tells us that while everything remained perfectly friendly, all the signs point to political indigestion.
They discussed the differences that remain between the Israeli and American views on how to get the Geneva peace talks started again, such as the Palestine Liberation Organization and its inclusion in the conference. Earlier, Secretary Vance had said that the U.S. does not accept the conditions Israel has attached to the participation of a single unified Arab delegation at Geneva. Presumably, Israel's refusal to let it do more than ceremonially open the conference. Vance had also been asked earlier about Dayan's denial of self-determination to the Palestinian Arabs. Vance saying coldly, "Dayan's view is not mine." We asked Dayan after the dinner what had been discussed. He replied, it would be better to take those matters up in confidential talks, which would be held this week and next. As he turned to leave, a reporter asked, "Mr. Dayan, will you take one more question?" Dayan replied with a wry smile, "I didn't even answer the first one." Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations.
Hottlett also reports that the Security Council this morning begins consultation behind closed doors about bringing the United Nations into the Rhodesian negotiations. The U.S. and Britain have devised a plan to remove the white minority regime of Ian Smith and to begin Rhodesia's peaceful transition to majority rule. The important word, Hottlett says, is peaceful, putting an end to the growing guerrilla war in Rhodesia and to avert a vacuum and preserving the rights of all Rhodesians, black and white. Some effective powers accepted by all the parties must be established in Rhodesia, and Hottlett notes that British and American troops are out of the question, so London and Washington are turning to the United Nations.
Zap! That was the new fuel-injected Datsun 280Z. A car engineered to endure what the world dishes out. An even better Z than those that have captured seven SCCA racing championships. Zap! This Datsun 280Z is better because both its two and four passenger versions offer a new five-speed transmission option, new functional hood louvers, mag-type wheel covers, and 15 other thoughtful Datsun refinements in handling and feel. That was America's most wanted sports car. The fuel-injected Datsun 280Z. Priced within reach. Engineered to endure. Flat out perfected.
Take a test drive soon at your nearby Datsun dealer. Suddenly it'll dawn on you. Datsun saves in all kinds of ways. You're listening to World News Roundup on KNX News Radio, where the time is 7:08.
A crime that shocked the nation 14 years ago is now being brought into court in Alabama. And Bruce Hall reports from Birmingham that new light may be thrown on similar crimes.
The indictment of a 73-year-old former Ku Klux Klansman in connection with a 1963 civil rights church bombing in Birmingham is expected to be the first in a series of indictments. An investigation into a number of unsolved racial church bombings in the late 50s and early 60s was reopened in February this year by the Alabama Attorney General. There is no statute of limitations in Alabama on murder or bombing cases. Klansman Robert Shambliss was arrested during the night and is charged with four counts of first-degree murder in connection with the bombing death of four young girls. It is expected that there will be another indictment opened today, and it is widely reported that it will be for Georgia white supremacy advocate J.B. Stoner, who is also the leader of the National States Rights Party. Both Shambliss and Stoner say they were not involved in the bombings and say it is all a political witch hunt by Alabama Attorney General Bill Baxley, who is also running for governor. Bruce Hall, CBS News, Birmingham.
At Media, Pennsylvania, the murder trial of former Mine Workers Union President W.A. Tony Boyle has been postponed for 4 months because the 75-year-old defendant has suffered a recurrence of heart trouble. Boyle is charged with arranging the 1969 assassination of a union rival, his wife and daughter. He was hospitalized 9 days ago with chest pains. Boyle was convicted in 1974 and sentenced to life in prison, but the guilty verdict was set aside by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court on grounds that Boyle was denied the right to present a complete defense.
There's a reward out for you at Wells Fargo Bank, the biggest reward we've ever offered. $2,000 in any Wells Fargo savings plan, and you get no charge checking.
personalized checks and traveler's checks, an $8 safe deposit box, and personal service from a Wells Fargo personal banker. And you get the highest bank interest rate allowed by law, because now you can keep your $2,000 in a regular passbook account or in a certificate of deposit paying even higher interest. A Wells Fargo personal banker will help you choose the plan that's right for you. Whichever way you go, you'll find that saving money is more rewarding than ever at Wells Fargo Bank. So come in today and claim your reward at the Wells Fargo office nearest you. Member FDIC.
Not so long ago, France's parties of the left and the far left were exuding sweetness and light and togetherness in what looked like a coordinated drive for power in next year's parliamentary elections. But not any longer, as we hear from Joan Shore in Paris.
The sudden split in France's left-wing coalition has become an embarrassingly public affair. Thanks to a number of television appearances and interviews, the three-party leaders have exposed themselves as few French politicians ever do, and have brought their internal quarrels before a vast audience. Communist chief Georges Marchais, socialist François Mitterrand, and left radical Robert Fabre are launching nationwide campaigns to convince their constituents that the other partners are at fault and are unfaithful to the common program that was forged 5 years ago. They disagree on the extent to which industry should be nationalized and on the question of social benefits. Individually and on camera, they're all blaming each other for the failure of their summit meeting last week. Ironically, France's left opposition has complained for many years that it wasn't given adequate time on the government-owned television stations. They're being given plenty of time now, and the general consensus is that it's working against them. Joan Shore for CBS News, Paris.
The Chicago Sun-Times today says Senator Charles Percy has charged that a White House inner circle masterminded a campaign to destroy him and save the job of now-resigned Budget Director Burt Lance. The Illinois Republican is quoted as saying that the so-called inner circle included White House News Secretary Jody Powell, President Carter's chief political aide Hamilton Jordan, and former Defense Secretary Clark Clifford, Lance's lawyer, but not the president himself. According to the Sun-Times, Percy contends that the inner circle tried to plant false rumors about him and that the White House played a role in what he called constant harassment and interruptions during the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee's hearings in the Lance case.